All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you, standing in the confessional corner to talk about the fourth commandment this week in the Small Catechism. Honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. So with this, we have the cursing of Canaan from Genesis chapter 9, beginning in verse 20. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backwards, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." All right, there's our text for this week. We have truly the family dynamics going on again as the world has its restart with the flood. So we have Noah coming out of the flood, becoming a man of the soil, planting a vineyard. And so when he planted the vineyard and he got the produce from it, yes, he overindulged in the wine that he made and he lay naked in his tent. Nothing really wrong with that. However, we get to Ham and his reaction to it. When he walks into or sees the tent flap open, however it is that Ham sees his father's nakedness, and he makes a joke about it. He wants to make fun of his father, not honoring him, but despising him because he is off gotten himself drunk and not doing whatever it is that Ham probably thought he ought to be doing. So now, Shem and Japheth, the two other brothers, took a garment, laid it on their shoulders, and walked backwards into the tent, laying it upon their father, so they didn't see it, showing propriety and modesty with their father and his drunken state. So we have that going on with us, the difference between Ham wanting to make a spectacle of it and Shem and Japheth wanting to modestly take care of it. So when Noah wakes up, he finds out what Ham, his youngest son, had done. And it's always been interesting to me, every time I've taught Genesis, this curse. It's not cursed be Ham. It's cursed be Canaan, Ham's son. A servant of servants, he shall be to his brothers. So this is what Noah says about his descendants in the line of Ham, which gives us the Canaanites and a lot of those other nations that were drawn out and eradicated from the promised land when the Israelites came in. So most of them fall under the descendants of Ham. But then he goes on to bless the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant, giving us a foreshadowing that Shem is the one of the three sons of Noah that is going to bring about the promised Messiah. Which is why we still, even today, talk about anti-Semitism against Jews, that all spurring back to Sem being a variation on Shem. And then, may God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. Let Japheth, the middle son, I'm going to assume, be in and among the people of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant as well. And as we turn the page from Genesis 9 to Genesis 10, we see the table of nations that God shows us in going from Noah to Abraham. So as we look in these, it starts off with Japheth, We have names that come up again and again from the prophecies and even from the New Testament. You've got sons of Japheth being among them Magog, Tubal, Meshech. You've got Tarshish as a grandson. The coastland peoples, which is where the Philistines and the Phoenicians come in. Those are all descendants of Japheth. The sons of Ham are Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. So you have Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, which is where Put goes into, and then Canaan. And among them also you have Seba and Sheba coming down from there. You have Nimrod building Nineveh and Babel. So we have all kinds of things going on from there. And Canaan fathers Heth, the father of the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Sinites, the Arvidites, the Zemarites, and the Hamathites. Many of them not seen again in the scriptures. And then to Shem, you have him going down the list all the way down till we get to Abram in the time of, not even Abram yet, because that's after the Tower of Babel, but we get to all the generations between Noah and the Tower of Babel. So we see all of these things. And as I said, you have a lot of the things where, especially from the sons and descendants of Canaan, that, you know, many of them you don't hear about very much elsewhere in the scriptures. Even in a lot of the archaeology, you don't find a whole lot of mention of them. This is part of that curse. A servant of servants, they are the ones whom God tells to take out from the promised land and to take for the Israelites to go in and dwell. So we have all this going on, the curse there. Why? Because he would not honor his father. He would not show the basic honor that a sinful father needs in his own moments of weakness, but wants to make a big spectacle out of it. But no, we look to Shem and Japheth as models of how we are to come alongside those in their weakness and to help try to bring them into a right place with God. Now, this goes into, again, all kinds of stuff with the parents and other authorities, which is where we get the Table of Nations in chapter 10 of Genesis, and just the different nations that are there, the different authorities that are there, and the different warrings that go on between all of the different groups. Why? Because we have this issue of wanting our own way, wanting not somebody to just tell us what it is that we need to do and go do it, but we want to be in charge of everything. That's our human nature. That's the way we like things. And that's the way a lot of times Christians especially are perceived, as trying to hold on to not their own authority, not their own ideas, but to hold on to the words of the scriptures and to promote them. Reminding people that sometimes the arguments we have are not arguments between you and me. They're arguments that one of us has with Jesus and with the word that he has given down that we don't like. And that is where the ultimate authority comes from, is the word of God. Going back to last week in the third commandment, so also this week we have the authority because we do come before God and pray to him as our Father. All right, that is it for this week as we continue on through the commandments and the small catechism. I am Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for standing in the confessional corner with me this week. Next week, we get into the fifth commandment, talking about Cain and Abel. I encourage you to be back for that next week. And until then, may God's rich blessings that he gives to us in his authoritative word strengthen and equip you to wrestle with the theologies around you today and always. Amen.